Happy Halloween. it's another Monday night edition of the Kickoff Show. I'm your host, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. For those of you listening to the podcast later on, I hope your family had a safe and fun-filled Halloween activity night, active night, something. It has been crazy here at the Levi household. My son this year was a monkey, dressed up like Curious George, his favorite character. That would be Trey. That was Trey, the oldest one. And Logan, my baby, is a bee this year, not chosen by his father, but by his mother. So, but went out and did a little trick-or-treating real quick. Came back in, had some good grub. Looked up at the clock. It was 7:50. And I said, it's Monday. So I just got on in time. I appreciate you guys joining me tonight. On the phone, as always, I've got my good friend Rob, a bad backcast of ore. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Awesome. I had a fun-filled weekend, and I have a fun-filled weekend ahead. As my wife is on vacation this week, I took a couple extra days, and I'll get into that a little bit later on. But I went down to the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show yesterday and saw all the new goings-ons in the boating world. Was very disappointed that there was nothing, and let me say it again, nothing kayak-related there. Not a thing. The only thing that I saw there that was kayak-related or paddling-related was like a miniature version of a crew boat. And I'm pretty sure that those things are not built for fat guys like me to sit in because the seat's about the size of a dinner plate. So, but other than that, the boats that we saw were absolutely gorgeous. A lot of them were. I had some of my own personal favorites of the show, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. Even though it's a kayak fishing show, I'm pretty excited about what I saw down there and the possibility of using some of those boats or getting a chance to operate some of those boats in the future. As I went down there with some really good friends of mine from England, as I like to refer to them as Team England.
Fish and chips.
They're always looking for bigger and better. They currently own a 36-foot yellowfin with triple 275 Mercs on it. And we went down there to look at the 39-foot yellowfin with quad 300s on it. So, but anyhow, I don't want to dive right into that. I would rather talk about some kayak-related news. For those of you that don't know, we had one of our own go over to Australia this past week, and for the Daiwa Hobie World Kayak Fishing Tournament, and he did pretty well. That would be Jose Chavez from over in Tampa Way, I believe. I think they ended up in fourth, The first day he led for angler. And I think they ended up finishing fourth overall. So congratulations to them. Good old American boys flying all the way across the world and still putting a whooping on people. So that's pretty cool. Australian teams took first, second, and third. So not big surprise when you're fishing, they're fishing their home waters. But I imagine that would have been a really cool trip to make. Yeah, I've never been to Australia. It's definitely on my bucket list of places to go and things to do. So, Rob, have you ever been to Australia? Rob? Anybody?
Yes. No, I have not been to Australia, but it is on the bucket list of places to go, man.
That's cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, I figured in your world travels with the band and stuff, I wasn't sure if you had made it out there. It's definitely one of those places that I want to go to for a number of reasons, not just for the fishing, but just to get out there and look at the wilderness and get out in the outback and that kind of thing. So it's pretty cool. But so congratulations, Jose.
Actually, that's like one of the few places that I haven't been anywhere east of Hungary and Romania and all that stuff. Never been to Asia, believe it or not. And, you know, that's like a hotbed of metal. And never been to Australia or New Zealand or Japan or anything like that.
Huh. Well, Mr. Chip Gibson is in the chat room. He has not called in, but Mr. Chip Gibson has been to Australia, apparently. So, good. Call me. Let's talk about it. How awesome is Australia? let's see. What else is going on in the world of kayaking, man? I don't know. It looks like the fall bite up around the Virginia Beach area is starting to take effect. I'm actually looking at the homepage of yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource, and I see that the latest kayak fishing report was put up by Rob Choi on Tuesday. So, and he's got a nice totog on his lap. So that's cool. Locally to me, it's been getting crazy. The river's been really firing pretty well. A lot of guys are catching fish, slot fish to slot redfish to slot trout in pretty good numbers. A lot of them taking artificial baits now as opposed to having to throw cut baits, which is cool. I know there's a lot of us that don't favor throwing the cut baits, but the water is still a little dirty. We've had a solid day now of rain, and we finally got a little reprieve from it this evening. So the ditches be a-flowing, and hopefully the fish will be a-biting. But it kind of puts a damper on what we've got going on here as far as the water clarity cleaning up, because it's going to make it a little dirty again. And it's been blowing sustained winds now for, I want to say, almost 2 days of anywhere between 15 and 30 knots. So it's been blowing pretty good here locally. And we're just, you know, man, if we could just get a break from that and get some cooler temperatures to clean that river and lagoon right on up, we'd all be in really good shape. But I got a caller from the 407. Is this Mr. Steve?
This is Steve. How are you today?
I am good, sir. How are you?
Not bad. Just feeding kids a lot of chocolate.
Nice. You're going to be up late tonight.
Yeah, this is the first time the little man's ever done Halloween, and he went out for a little bit, and now I bought exactly 6 bags, and my goal is to give all these kids that are in my neighborhood just the best experience so they never TP my house from here on out.
That's just it. It's funny you say that, because last year I had a couple of teenagers come by my house late, and it was funny. I told my wife, I said, watch this. I said, I'm going to handle this situation from here on out. We're never going to have to worry about getting our house egged or TP'd or anything. And I walked outside. I had 3 big baskets full of candy. There's 3 of them. And I said, all right, you open up your sack. Whoosh, poured the whole bag, the whole bucket into his thing. You open up yours and poured the whole bucket. They must have got 4 or 5 bags of candy apiece, because just no kids were really trick-or-treating this particular time. And I told them, I said, now you see this house? You remember this house? You see my face? You remember this face? I said, don't let me catch you TP and you tell all your buddies that we're the coolest people on the block. Egg the neighbors. Don't egg my house. So, yeah.
It's surprising that's exactly how I think. I say to myself, never, even if the kid is wrong, don't say anything bad. When I first got married, I'll talk fishing in a second. When I first got married, there was 3 kids that used to jump the privacy fence, and they'd go swimming, and it would scare the hell out of me. And I'd be home working. I'd be like, what's going on outside? What's all this racket? And they didn't think anyone was home. And I came out and said, look, I don't mind you go swimming here, but, you know, just make sure your parents know that you're here. Those kids now that was 3 or 4 years ago. They're 13 or 14 now. They think I'm the coolest guy on the block. So, you know, I don't have to worry about them. And, the last thing you need in life is to have your house toilet papered by some immature idiots.
Right.
So it's how it is.
Yeah. I'm not too far removed from the young age of getting out there and causing a ruckus in the neighborhood. I never TP'd anybody's homes or any of that kind of thing, but, go ahead.
I would love to say I didn't.
Right.
But I was a real jackass when I was growing up.
Yeah, I did some funny things. Yeah, I did some funny things when I was a kid. I'm not gonna lie. I did the shaving cream routine in bags, and like my buddies, we were walking down the street collecting candy, and I'd run up and spray shaving cream all down inside their bags, so their candy was all messed up. But whatever.
I don't know if you realize this. This is, you see what I've done? I've come on your show, and you instantly stop talking fishing, just like what happens on my show every week.
I know, and that's all right. That's the beauty of what we do here, especially too at Kayak Fishing Radio, is there really is no true agenda. It's just kind of like a roundtable discussion. So if it goes that way, you know, we start off talking a lot of times, even on Rob's show or on Chip's show, where we're talking about whatever, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, did you guys have you guys ever eaten blah blah blah, or hey, have you ever done this? Or it's fun. It's what makes it easy to do, man. It makes it so much fun to do. But
I love this concept. I've listened to you several times. I've used some of the things I've heard on your show and brought it back to my show, and I just appreciate. I enjoy listening to everyone talking fishing. I mean, that's what bonds all of us together. You might not know this person out in BFE, but you know what? If you have that common goal of fishing, you always have something that you can talk about and enjoy and have fun and you know, have that bond. So this is a cool concept you guys have. And like I said, I love the show. I've listened to you numerous times.
Well, I appreciate it, Steve, very much. For those of you listening that don't know who I'm speaking to, this is Steve Chapman from the Fishing Florida radio show, which is broadcast on 740 The Game. It's a wow, Rob. Awesome. it's probably one of the most well-heard stations in the state of Florida for your sports signal. So great show, man. I listen to it every Saturday. And if you guys are in the state of Florida, as I hope most of my listeners would be, tune into it every Saturday morning. I think it starts at 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah. We have a good signal strength. Actually, I can give you a little tip. It looks like we've been working on a simulcast all the way down to the bottom of Miami on two or three other stations. So we'll broadcast from, right now we broadcast from like St. Augustine down to Vero and then all the way over to Tampa. You know, we're in Central Florida, but we'll go from St. Augustine all the way down to Miami, it looks like. So we're kind of excited, but we're working on it. And, you know, it's three guys that go in and have fun. Boudreaux really doesn't fish. He's part of the show. He's kind of the person we make fun of at all times. I mean, from calling him fat or gay, or even though he isn't gay. I mean, it's just how it is. And then we have Captain Mike, who does tackle webs, who has just knows so much, has so much fishing knowledge. And then I'm really just the smart ass and try to keep things moving. It's, you know, it's fun, and we appreciate you calling our show and everybody calling in. And it's just about having fun. The thing I say that I tell people about the show is it's a fishing show, so we do talk fishing, but it's got to be entertaining too, or else people just aren't going to listen to the show at all. So that's really the goal of it, and we have great sponsors, and like I said, you call in, and we have good friends that call in to keep us informed on what's going on out there fishing-wise, and we have guests from everywhere, so it's cool, man, so... It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. It's and I'll tell you, for a show that is 3 hours long, your show is 3 hours long. It's amazing how well you guys feed off of each other during your broadcast, and I kind of get some of that stuff on my show as well with Rob. We kind of, when things start to kind of slow down a little bit, Rob tends to kind of like help me pick it right back up again, and or Chip or whoever's on the line, and it makes it fun. But one of the things I want to get to real quick is we've got our boondoggle, and for those of you that don't know what a boondoggle is, it is a camping retreat kind of a trip where a bunch of us kayakers will get together. I say us, I have yet to make it to an actual camping boondoggle. But we've got the boondoggle coming up. And it's President's Day weekend, and it's going to be down in Chokoloskee, Florida. And I am extremely excited about that because I've never personally fished down that way. However, having been told numerous stories from very good anglers about the numbers of snook and trout and reds and small goliaths and all the things that can be caught back up into the mangrove area on the tide. It sounds like a really cool trip. So that's February 17th through the 21st, President's Day in Chokoloskee, Florida. Again, if you guys can make it out, we'll get some contact information up on yakangler.com as far as who you need to contact for campsites and that kind of thing. And Trey is in the chat room saying, where in the world is that? That's all the way down in the southwest corner of Florida. It's down right just south, I believe, of Everglades City.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much as close to, well, you're basically fishing in the Everglades, kind of, sort of. And it's really, really cool, a really cool fishery. So let's see.
Snook fishing down there is ridiculous. You have no idea what you're going to get into. The snook fishing down there is just off the hook. I mean, you will get 30, 40 snook days down there without any problem.
Wow.
You're heading into, like, Snook City. I mean, we think that we have a good snook fishery when you get to Vero and South. Really, they don't get the monsters, but they get the numbers that you want to catch. You'll have a great time down there, dude.
Yeah, I'd rather catch, honestly, I mean, for me, I would much rather catch 30 or 40 fish, regardless of the size, than catch one giant. I've caught really big snook before out at Port Canaveral and Sebastian Inlet, and it's fun and all, but I like catching those little ones on fly and catching them on really light tackle and stuff. So, yeah, man, I'm super excited about it. And you should join us, man. I've got extra kayaks. Come on down and we'll, you know, have a good time.
You want to know, it's something I should really look at. You know, I've only been in a kayak a couple times, and I do seminars around here and little things like that. And I 9 out of 10 times a kayaker will come up and say, you know, I'm from a kayak. Where do you think I should go fishing here locally? And I try to give them where I think you can go and have a lot of fun. Because, I mean, people go to the lagoon, and, I mean, right now, kayakers probably, with the water levels being a little bit high, kayakers locally should be going back to that Orange Island and, you know, Catfish Bay and all those places and hitting those fish. And then when we start getting this cooler weather, they should be hitting all these potholes, and just pothole fish is, in my opinion, the most fun there is throughout our whole season.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know you guys. Go ahead.
A little jig head or anything like that. You can have anything from a gulp or exude. I know exude's doing so much for that fish skins tournament. What they're doing with that is just sickening. So exude right now is on my top shelf. For, you know, it's nice for a big company to step up and hook them up and give whoever wins all that prize.
That's crazy, isn't it? I had Anthony on the show a couple weeks ago. We were talking about it. That's the Fish Skins Redfish Tournament. I'm pulling it up right now, trying to get the dates. I think it slipped my mind. I think it's the 12th or something like that.
Of all things, it's the same week as our Gumbo Palooza, but I think it's, if you're over in Port Canaveral or over that way, it's well worth going and enjoying. I think it's only like $35 or something too.
Yeah, it's a very inexpensive entry fee. I know that, and I fished the event last year. Man, it was a great event. Let's see. Yeah, it's the 11th and 12th of November, and they're giving away just an absolute ton of stuff during the raffle. They put on a really good event. Like I said, last year I had a great time. And this year they've done a couple different things. They've added a spot category. It's kind of like the Calcutta, if you want to call it that, where you pay an extra fee. I think it's an extra $10 or something like that, and you can be into the spot category where you're bringing a live fish. Hold on. Let me reiterate that. A live slot-sized fish with the most spots.
Yeah.
and you'll win the cash and prizes or whatever's going along with that. So it's a lot of fun. It's a great event. If nothing else, just come out to the captain's meeting and, you know, talk to folks. There's a lot of us local guys that'll be fishing it, and you know, it's just like I say, it's a great time. And those guys over from Fishkins put on such a great event. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to it, man. I fished it last year, like I said. I didn't do so hot. I caught a bunch of fish. The wind was blowing like crazy. I caught around 10 or 12 redfish. Either they were all 24, 25 inches, or they were 31, 32 inches. So I got one that was like 27 and like a quarter. And I was, I mean, not 27 and a quarter. It was 28 and a quarter. And I was so bummed. But, yeah, good times. But, so let's see. Let me check real quick and see who all we have in the chat room. We've got a couple guests. I've got Trey in there from Jackson Kayak Fishing Team. How's it going, buddy? Thanks for showing up. Aaron, as always, is in there. And the godfather himself, Chip Gibson. So, good stuff. And Chip's, I think, trying his hardest to make me laugh tonight. And it's not going to happen. See if Rob's still there on the phone.
Take that, Chip.
Yeah, take that. Rob, are you still on there, buddy?
Yeah, man, I'm here. Sorry, didn't mean to blast you with the music there, buddy.
That was cool, man. I rocked out for a second, but I had to put you on mute real quick.
I was, you know, when I got too many buttons here to push, I always get them mixed up.
That's cool, man. No problem. One of the things, too, that I wanted to talk about tonight, going back to the boat show, I went down to the Fort Lauderdale boat show yesterday, and forget about the fact that there was nothing kayak-related there. Some of the boats that they're coming out with now, the new stuff for this upcoming year, are just absolutely amazing fishing machines. The few that stuck out in my mind on the inshore side of things were obviously the Hell's Bay stuff. I'm a huge fan of the Hell's Bay skiffs, and you know, it's what can you say? That's it. It's all that needs to be said. But one of the ones that surprised me was a boat company called Bahamas, or I think it's the Bahama Boat Company or Yacht Company. They make a 41-foot center console, but they also make a 16.5-foot flats boat. And they call it the Bohemian. And, man, that is a pretty, pretty vessel. I didn't really get a chance to do any kind of interview or anything like that. I mean, I was able to talk to the owner of the company for quite a while. And it was really cool to you almost got me, Chip. It was really cool to see where the skiffs have come from in the last couple of years to becoming like the most technically advanced skiffs I've ever seen. This thing had a step hole design to it, much like his bigger center console, so it'll be a little bit of an easier get up and go ride, and then also too. Really nice reverse chine, so it should stay really dry. But I spent most of the time looking at big boats with my friends from England. And that 39 Yellowfin that's available right now is a machine. And I think that's probably what they're going to go with. They're either going to get the 39 Yellowfin with quad 300s or 275s, or they're going to go with a new boat company called Billfish. They make a 39 as well, and it's pretty awesome, pretty impressive. That thing has three live wells in it, Steve. It's got a.
Is this a charter person that's going to buy this boat?
No. These are my friends. I got a family that lives in England that has a house here in Merritt Island, and they fly back and forth depending upon the weather and fishing conditions and so forth, and seasons, and they just fish. So, I made friends with them a couple of years ago when I was working at a different bait shop than where I'm at now. And ever since then, they've kind of taken me under their wing as almost like a adopted American family member, I guess. But that Billfish 39 has got three live wells in it. The first one, I believe, was about 120 gallons. The second one the second one that's behind the console, behind the leaning post, I believe was 200 gallons. And then they've got a third one that's up on the bow, right behind the anchor locker, which is a small one. Like you just throw maybe a handful of baits in case you're throwing a billfish or throwing a dolphin or whatever. And that one was like, I want to say 25 or 30 gallons. So it was definitely a fishing machine. The thing had, it was funny because we talked about sometimes on the shows about how many rod holders do you have on your kayak? Because you see guys all the time with milk crates and they'll have rod holders all the way around the thing. And some dudes will have 10 rods in their rod holders on a kayak. And it's crazy. This thing had 58 rod holders on it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was like, I don't even know how you have enough gunnel to support the holes. Like, there's not enough space between the holes that you've drilled out that where you should have enough strength to hold weight on it, you know. But it's a beautiful boat. But, yeah, I was a little bit disappointed there wasn't any paddle crafts down there, but I guess I shouldn't really expect that at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show. And, of course, all the million-dollar yachts were out there and all the big sport fishermen and stuff. I saw a couple of my friends out there that I know, and it was good, man. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, that's all I got.
The thing down at that Fort Lauderdale Boat Show is, and you talked briefly about it, Hell's Bay came out with that new Biscayne boat, or not, they redesigned their new Biscayne.
Right.
That boat is, for us locally, because you know I have you might not know this, I have a Hell's Bay Waterman, a 16-foot Waterman, and I think for Mosquito Lagoon and Indian River, I think it's probably the best one to two person boat there is, just for draft and fit and finish and everything. I mean, Hell's Bay just built in a beautiful boat. But that Biscayne was built with a little bit more dead rise, or they took the 12-degree dead rise, and then they made a little V in the back, so now that boat can actually eat some chop. And for a boat that's 16-foot to draft like 7 inches and to be able to take a 2-foot wave, I mean, that's almost a perfect Keys boat now. So they're really, really proud of that. Chris and Wendy and that whole group at Hell's Bay, they're really proud of what they've accomplished with that new Biscayne. It's something to go and check out.
Yeah, that was a beautiful boat, man. I will say that. I took a bunch of pictures of it, and I got to talk to a few folks over there. I didn't get a chance to talk with the big man, Chris, but I did talk to the sales guy, Chris, and had a pretty good conversation with him just about the boats real quick. And I got a buddy of mine, John Glasser, who works for them now, doing some Lamo type stuff. And man, he can't ever stop raving about them. And he's just so pumped to even be a part of their whole organization that they have up there. It seems like it's a really tight knit group of people that run that business. And that's kind of what I like to look for, man. If I'm buying a kayak or if I'm buying a boat, it's really all about the customer service, but you want to almost feel like you're becoming part of a family whenever you join or whenever you buy a boat like that. You spend that kind of money on something, it's a good feeling, you know. I've recently joined forces with a new kayak company, Jackson Kayaks, and I'm really, really, really excited about that. The new Cuda line is coming out, and man, it's one of those things. Like, as soon as I got picked up by those folks, I instantly felt like I belonged. I felt like I was actually part of the family. And I mean, I got Trey on the chat board there. He's part of the team, and all those guys over there, they all welcomed me with open arms, and it felt really good to be a part of that, you know. And I know guys that own the Hell's Bays, and they say the same thing about just being a boat owner, not even being pro staff or anything, just being a boat owner. You walk back into Hell's Bay and it's like everybody remembers you and, hey, how's it going? Oh, man, is there anything we can do for you? And it's just, that's a good thing, man.
Does the Jackson Kayaks, do they make the Calusa Kayaks?
Yep.
Yeah.
Calusa.
Is that what it's called, Calusa?
Yeah, Calusa.
I don't want to be throwing things out, but you know, Mosquito Creek's our big sponsor for the radio show,
right?
And they carry those kayaks, and one of the things about, I see them selling them all the time. One of the beautiful things about Mosquito Creek is you can go in there, they've got a pool in the back in the outback, and you can go try the kayak out before you purchase it. And there's probably a whole bunch of photos of me and one of those Jackson kayaks. Those are beautiful kayaks, man. Congratulations on being part of them. That's a good group, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll tell you what, the Coosa is a great boat. The Cuda, which is the one I'm waiting on, is a 14-foot version of the Coosa. So it's a bit longer than the Coosa. It'll paddle a little bit better than the Coosa for big water fishing, the rivers and the lagoon and that kind of thing. I really like it a lot for the stability of the boat and being able to stand up in it, move the seat back, and be able to fly fish out of it standing up. I'm like you guys in your flat skiffs. I stand all day long. There's no such thing as me sitting down and fishing. I stand and push pole just like you guys do in a flat skiff. I've got an 11.5-foot push pole I use, and man, I'm so excited. I don't know, whatever. It is what it is, man. I'm like a kid at Christmas time. I recently just picked up two new G. Loomis fly rods. I got a new Canon camera. I got a new kayak company I'm affiliated with. I'm talking to you fine folks tonight on Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm truly blessed right now, man, and it's a good feeling.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's awesome. And then I've, you know, throughout, you know, the last couple of months has been really cool as far as trying to promote the show and the little bit of recognition, it seems I'm starting to get it a little bit. And I got more people that are coming into the shop every day. Had a guy in this morning who came into the shop and out there at Handler Fish and Supply. And he was like, hey, I just bought two Hobies and I'm getting into kayak fishing. I don't know anything at all about kayak fishing for the most part. What can I do? You know, how can I learn more? And I was like, listen, man, we've got five shows, a show every day of the week that you can tune in to Kayak Fishing Radio and listen to. And, you know, and I told him about y'all's show, told him about Captain Jim Ross's show. There's all of these nice outlets now where before we didn't have a voice to be able to speak out and kind of give our fellow fishermen the tips and techniques that we use to catch fish. So It's nice having a platform, you know, and being able to see that it's being utilized. So, but yeah, cool. And you know what? I want to come in and sit with you guys sometime, Steve, and experience the shenanigans that take place on your radio show. It's comical to say the least.
To tell you the truth, the breaks are the best parts.
Well, it's funny because if you're like, I know sometimes I tend to call right before your breaks and, but you can always tell something's brewing because you can hear murmurs in the background and somebody laughing. And then you guys, all right, well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back real quick with Fish in Florida Radio after this. And it's like you can almost tell you're either ready to bust into a laugh or just, I don't know, man. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
We have fun. And like I said, I was glad. We'd love to have you anytime you want to. Actually, we want to. Mike and I have been thinking about doing almost like a back to basics kind of seminars, and try to get friends of ours to come out and tell people, you know, promote it on the radio show. Tell people to come to wherever, and we'll just give you back to basics, things that you've probably don't know, or maybe you do know and you haven't used it. Just like, I mean, the first one out of that we're thinking about doing is just on jigs and bucktails, because really that's where fishing lures kind of started. And people, we now have all these baits that have a lot of scent, and the plastic baits do this, and you know, we have 3D stuff. And so our first one we're thinking about doing is bucktails and jigs. You're more than welcome to come in and be part of us, like the pro staff. We'd love to have you on with us out there wherever we're going to do it and hear what you think and talk to people. And like I said, we'd love promoting, helping you out and promoting your show, because it really does. We're all in it together. And, you know, I know Jim, I think Jim Catch a Memory Radio show is got more information in that hour of his than we do in 6 months of our show. But, you know, it's nice to have these platforms and to talk about it and enjoy it and have the friends. And just like last week, you had I met someone on the chat room, Kayak Kevin. We had him on the show this week. I think Kevin might be the most insane fisherman I've ever seen in my life, but he was great on the radio.
Yep.
And that's good stuff, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, and like you say, it's we're all in this thing together, man. Whether we're kayak fishermen or we're in boats or whatever, waders, whatever, we all have that common bond of being in the outdoors and enjoying it. And having friends to be able to kind of, or making friends through this arena is the best thing in the world, man. I've met some of my best friends now through yakangler.com, through Kayak Fishing Radio. So, you know, it's good stuff. And I really enjoy everything that you guys do again. And being on the show is always fun. It's always one of those things on Saturday mornings, even though I dread waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get to the shop to open up, I'm like, oh, at least I got the radio show to listen to and call into. So, but
that's what I say every week.
Yeah. It's like, you know what, man, it could be a lot worse. I could be going to sit in a cubicle and stare at a computer screen all day long and type numbers, but rather I'm going to speak about fishing. So, but yeah, cool. Rob, are you still there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Do you ever listen? Do you guys get 740 the game over there? I imagine you do in Tampa.
I'm not sure. I've never tried to listen to it, but I'm not up very well. Sometimes I'm up then, but that's on Saturdays, right?
Yeah. Saturday mornings.
What was
from
that?
Saturday mornings from 6 to 9. I don't know what
okay.
Steve said. I'm sure it was probably pretty good.
I said it's not worth listening to.
Oh, it's not worth listening to? Yeah.
Oh, stop.
But, yeah, cool. So another, I know I'm jumping all over the place today. Listen, I've eaten probably as much candy, if not more, than what's been given out at my house. So I'm all kind of hopped up on sugar and Mountain Dew, so don't mind me. We had a good discussion the other day, the Jackson Kayak Fishing Team members, on a topic that to me is seems pretty basic, but at the same time, it's pretty interesting. Flush mount rod holders or Scotty style or Ram style rod holders for your kayak. The question was, should boats be sent out of the factory standard with flush mount rod holders? Now, boaters, obviously, that's a given, right? You don't use a Scotty base or you don't use a Ram base for the most part. All of your rod holders are all flush mount. So, but in the kayak side of things, it's an interesting conversation and an argument, or even just you call it a debate, not really an argument. Because for me and my style of fishing, be it standing up, fly fishing, going underneath docks and fishing through, you know, tight quarters and stuff with mangrove trees over top of my head and all that kind of thing. I don't have the luxury of putting a rod that's 7 foot tall behind my back and having it stick up like an antenna, because I'll break rods all day. And the rods I fish with are nice, good quality rods, and I'm just not going to do it. And to me, it's a deterrent to buy a kayak if it comes standard with the flush mount rod holders. However, then the question comes into, hey, you can change it if you want to. You can pull out those flush mounts. You can put in the Scotty bases and so on and so forth. So, Rob, what is your preference when it comes to rod holders for your kayak? And real quick before you answer that, guys, if you're in the chat room and you want to get in on the conversation, please do. The phone number, as always, is 714-816-4727. So feel free to call in, but go ahead, Rob, tell me your theory on that.
Well, my personal preference, and I'm weird, man. I tell you what, I do like everything different than everybody else. You know, I don't like anything on my kayak, just, you know, very basic, but, excuse me. I prefer flush mount myself. Okay. They're easy to get in and out. The only issue is, you know, I have four of them on my kayak, but two of them are out of reach, so it's almost like they're, you know, they're kind of useless. But I prefer flush mounts because I don't like anything extra that can catch anything, that, you know, when I'm fly fishing, can grab a hold of anything. On the other hand, though, I do wish I had, you know, some way to rig extra rod holders, like, on my my big green box, you know, in the back, or something else, because sometimes I bring more than two rods, you know.
Right.
For the record, I mean, the only thing that I would change about flush mount rod holders is to put maybe some extenders, you know, maybe 6-inch extenders to get them up off the, to get them up out of the water, so to speak, you know, because that's one of the issues that I have with mine is that when they're in the flush mount rod, you know, in the rod holders, which are kind of behind my seat, my reels tend to get wet a little bit. And that's about the only thing that I don't like about the flush mount system. You know, now my buddy Keith has devised some extenders to stick in there, and then it actually gets your rods up off the out of the water, so to speak. Hopefully he'll make me a set, and that would be cool. You know, every time I've used Scotty mounts or anything like that, and they're great. They're nice products and everything. That's okay. They always get in my way. The last time I was over at the Lagoon, and I was using my buddy Scott's prowler there, it was, there's a big Scotty mount, right, you know, rod holder right in the middle, right in front of you, you know. And it's nice and everything. You stick a rod in there until, like, my spinning reel kept hitting it, you know, and it would get caught up in the rod holder. So I just do not like anything in front of me.
Yeah, well,
that's my take on the rod holders.
Yeah, I get it. I usually fish with just two rods, two spinner rods, or sometimes a spinner rod and a bait caster if I'm throwing plugs in the morning. However, now that I have completely basically transferred over to the dark side, and I'm fishing mainly nothing but fly tackle now, it doesn't really make a difference to me one way or another. Obviously, a flush mount rod holder is going to do absolutely nothing for me with a fly rod because it ain't going to stay in the rod holder. But I'll tell you what, the Scotty holders are nice and convenient for being able to turn the rods out, turn the rods down, you know, pretty much adjust them however I need them to be for whatever I'm about to go do. When I'm fishing in the lagoon and I'm out in the middle of a flat and there's no trees, no nothing, it doesn't make a difference. But again, if I decide I'm going to sneak up into Sykes Creek over here or up into a mangrove cut and, excuse me, do a little bit of exploring, it's not so easy. So to just, you know, paddle on down with rods sticking up like antennas, again, as I said. But, you know, I see both sides of the story. I see both arguments. And it's cool. I mean, you know, to each his own. Everyone's got their favorite things they like to do. Everyone's got their favorite ways they like to mount things. I guess I'm just not old school, but I think I'm just more in the thought process of convenience for me is more important. You know, I don't want to have to try and pull the rods out from where they're at to lay them down so that I can go somewhere. I'd rather just them be down already, but you know, it is what it is. So the decision had been made that now coming out of the factory that all of the Jackson Cudas will come standard with flush mount rod holders, and that's fine. And as I said before, we can all adapt the kayaks any way we want to. So you know, I look forward to getting it and playing with it and seeing what I can do as far as rod storage. The thing that is cool about it, I'm not going to stay on that topic too much, is they actually have fly rod stagers, they call them, and it's basically just a bungee system where you can strap your fly rod to the side of the kayak, and they've got a covered area up on the nose so you can stick the fly rod tips up into the covered area so you don't have to worry about catching the tip on a branch or something like that if you are paddling through some cover. So that's pretty cool. I don't know. To me, it's a personal preference thing. And as I said before, the Scotty style is more of what I'm into. Let's see, what else is going on in the world of kayak fishing radio? We've got the Salt Warriors in there. Good to have you here, Russ. Russ, how do you like your combo, man? Post it there in the chat room, and I'll pass that along. But Trey, I haven't heard any word on the ship date yet from Jackson. I actually haven't officially placed my order because I'm still back and forth on colors, man. I don't know what I'm gonna do. The color choices are pretty crazy, and I like two of them. I really like that Black Widow, and I really like the Yellow Jacket or whatever they call that one. It's really cool. So we'll see. But
hey,
what
did I hear you say that you got one of the new GoPro 2s?
I've ordered it. I haven't got it in yet.
Oh man, because I didn't even know that they were coming out with a new one, and I'm like on GoPro's site all the time, and you know, I was kind of surprised that I did see that new one. It's got some pretty neat features on it too, man.
Yeah, it sure does.
So I'm kind of excited to see that.
I could tell you that Handler Fishing Supply is going to become a dealer for GoPro cameras here in the near future. So if you should need
cool.
a GoPro camera sent to your dwelling, I know, Rob, that you've got a line on that. Feel free to contact me. We'll be more than happy to ship one to your house. Salt Warrior, Mr. Russ down in Louisiana, he hasn't fished his new combo, but he likes it so far. He said casting into the Mississippi River. Mr. Russ is a proud owner of a brand new Stradic FJ and a Shimano Therese rod. So we were able to ship that out to him. I hope it got there well and in good shape, I imagine so. Otherwise, I'm sure I would have heard about it. Cool. Trey just ordered himself a GoPro, he said, there in the chat room, and it's going to be here Friday. Well, cool, man. Good job. Get out there and take a bunch of video, man. Sounds like we've got some really cool things going on with our team as far as videos go, so I'm interested to see how that all turns out. And Mr. Gibson, I have used my camera so far, and I've taken about 5 million pictures, and I love it. I have yet to download the instructional manual, which is something I need to go ahead and do because, God, there's so many buttons. There's buttons. There's all kinds of just, I mean, it's a real camera. It's not a point and shoot anymore. It's a real deal, man. So, but no, I've got some really cool shots so far. Did a bunch of picture taken tonight with the kids out there trick or treating, and yeah, awesome. I'm super stoked about it. And it films in HD video, so that's cool. And it's got a really good microphone on it, from what I understand. So cool. We'll see how that all turns out. What else do we got? I don't know. Did you do any fishing, Rob, this past weekend?
Oh yeah, I was out yesterday, and it wasn't a very good day. It was low tide, very windy. You know, the spot I was in, she was textbook. You know, there should have been fish around there, but I guess, you know, like one of my buddies tells me, they, you know, maybe they didn't read the latest edition of you know, Florida Sportsman there. So I don't know exactly what happened. We only ended up with you know, two about 12 inch trout between us. Looked like the same fish, skinny little buggers. So I don't know. It must have been hungry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, as always, at least you got out on the water. While we were down there at the boat show, there were probably a million Jack Crevel all throughout one of the marinas where the boats were in the water, and they were chasing mullet down, and they were like, they'd push the mullet up against the bottoms of the big sport fishermen's, and the mullet would freak out, and then he'd shoot over towards the docks, and they'd pin him up against the docks and just blast them. It was awesome. And I've never wanted to have a fly rod in my hand as bad as that day. And it was cool. It was cool, man. I didn't get to do any fishing, really, to speak of. With the rain that we had today, pretty much all day long. I'm sure that the water levels in my favorite haunts has come up, and I should jump in there here shortly and see what's going on. But speaking of fishing in my area, here is your fishing forecast of things that I would look for if I were you, if I were heading out into my area in the next couple of weeks. Water's definitely cooled down a bit, and the fish have not quite gotten into that transitional period where they're starting to feed more on the crustacean-based diet as opposed to the finfish-based diet. So you can still throw your mullets, still throw your pinfish, still throw your pigfish, that kind of thing. Cut ladyfish, cut mullet will work fine. But the big black drum, the big uglies, as we like to call them on Kayak Fishing Radio, has shown up on the bridges. So that's pretty cool. It's something that can definitely be done from the kayak with a little bit of tender, loving care and be very gentle on your drags and everything. You can convince those fish to come away from the pylons without having to try and force them out from around the pylons. And what I mean by that is fish with a super light drag, feather the line if you can, even with just your fingers, and get those fish. When, as soon as they eat, just kind of keep tension on the fish. A lot of times what will happen is, that's pretty funny, Steve. A lot of times what will happen is the fish will take off running away from the other group of black drum. A lot of times up underneath the pylons, there'll be several of these large black drum. If one of them grabs a hold of a quartered crab, he's going to try and get away from the rest of them so they don't try and get it away from him. And when he does that, if you've just got finger pressure, you have enough to kind of keep a hold of them, but yet not let them just run off by leaving your bail completely open. Then you can kind of come tight to him when he's away from the pylon, hit him once or twice and make sure that you got him good, and then put the wood to him. Try and turn him and try and get him coming your way and do it in a hurry. I recommend if you're going to try and do that, don't go out there and try and set any IGFA world records, because it's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to pull a 60 or 80-pound black drum away from the pylons on 10-pound Power Pro and a 12-pound leader. If you do, you're lucky, and kudos to you. Go in there fishing like you mean it. Bring a big heavy rod. If you got a tarpon rod or a cobia rod, bring that. If you do, if you're around the South Florida area and you've got bottom gear, bring that. I fish the bridges when I fish for them with 65 pound Power Pro and up to about 80 pound monofilament leader. But I don't mess around. Again, if I'm going to try and catch a giant, I'm going to try and catch a giant, and I'm going to turn them as soon as I can. Anchoring is very important. If you can anchor, you're in better shape, because this way here, he's not just going to drag you into the pylons and break you off. But as the weather continues to cool off, you'll see more and more drum hitting the bridges, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to target those fish. Bycatch while you're drum fishing is big sheephead. You don't really see a whole lot of mangrove snappers in the wintertime in the river. Every now and again, you get lucky. So it's interesting, to say the least, to see what all you can pull up. I know I've caught plenty of whiting, plenty of pompano around the bridges in the wintertime. So it's a lot of fun. It's something that a group of people can go out and do, and everybody just kind of bounce from pylon to pylon until you find the right one that's holding a bunch of fish. Believe it or not, the bridges within the intercoastal, all the way from, I would say, 528 Causeway, which is in Cocoa, all the way down through the Sebastian area and points further south, hold snook almost all year round. The key to catching those fish is fish at night. Use your safety gear, your life vest, your lights. You got to have a light on your kayak, you know that. And then a whistle as well, or some sort of a sounding device. Whistle doesn't cut it for me if I'm fishing at night around the bridges. I use an air horn. I want people to know where I'm at. But, you know, those are kind of those are fun fish to tackle, man. There's some big snook in the river, and if you're going to try and do that, live bait's obviously probably your best. It's probably your best bet. So, you know, get out there and try and catch a big old slob on the bridge. But if you're going to fish the flats, as Steve Chapman was saying earlier, the wintertime is our favorite time for targeting potholes and fish laying in sandy areas and stuff like that. Good luck so far, because the water hasn't really cleaned up too much. And it's gotten better, but it's still nowhere near where it needs to be able to truly do a lot of sight fishing. I know some folks that found some tail and redfish in the lagoon the other day in a not-so-unfamiliar haunt of mine, which is down by the whale tail and south end of the lagoon, but no huge numbers. So with the water level being up, you know, try and fish the edges, I would say, of the flats and see if you can't come up with something there. If you've got two rods on the boat, throw a spoon on one or throw a soft plastic on one and then throw a chunk of ladyfish out behind you. I'm sure you'll do just fine with that. However, if you wish to target a bit faster species, you can go into the area of the Port Canaveral and make sure you have your safety equipment. The Spanish mackerel are there. The bluefish are there. The Jack Crevels are there. The snook are there. The redfish are there. There's been some nice mangrove snapper caught. There's been a couple of keeper mutton snappers caught. And a load of flounder. So there you go. There's some things for you to think about doing this upcoming week if we get the winds to lay down just a tad. But other than that, yeah, that's about all I got. Yeah, bluefish. They're a lot of fun to catch, man. It's one of my favorite things to chase. And, yeah, there you go. So that's about all I got, guys. I appreciate everybody joining me tonight. Rob, thanks for being there for me, buddy, as always.
Sure.
Steve Chapman, I appreciate you calling in, man. And thanks for joining the show. Russ and Trey and Aaron, of course, Chip, thank you guys very much for being in the chat room and the guests as well. And for all of you listening to the podcast, I appreciate it more than you know. Do me a favor, get a hold of me if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, anything that you might want to talk about or hear me talk about on the radio or our panel of experts talk about on the radio. Feel free to get a hold of me at chuckskayakadventures@hotmail.com. Definitely check out yakangler.com. He's your ultimate kayak fishing resource. All things kayak fishing related on yakangler.com. Tomorrow night, we got Rob, a Bad Backcast Divorce show, 8 o'clock Eastern. Rob, what do you got going on tomorrow?
Oh, man, a whole bunch of stuff. Going to talk about some species that I did see yesterday. There are sheep's head are around. We're going to talk about those a little bit. We're going to talk about flounder a little bit and how to fish in the wind or not.
Right.
And, of course, the Chokolotsky boondoggle, or however you say it.
Yeah, good enough.
So that's what I got going on tomorrow. So tune in at 8 and, tune in at 8 for more.
There you go. And then, of course, Wednesday night we've got the landing crew. Mark is your Virginia Beach expert, freshwater and saltwater. The guy's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs when it comes to largemouth bass. Definitely listening to his show. That's Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Thursday night, the godfather himself, Chip Gibson, he has got his round table of shenanigans that take place on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and then we have, of course, rolling out the end of the week. Friday night is the Spike and Ike show, the West Coast, all things kayak fishing related for California, Oregon, Washington State, and points beyond. So there you go. We got a big, a nice list of shows coming up, and we appreciate everyone's continued listening to us. Whatever I'm trying to say, I'm tired and I'm ready to go. So with that, good night, everybody. I hope my wife hasn't been feeding my kids candy ever since I've been on the air, so I guess I'll find out tonight. Good night, everybody. Take it easy.
See ya.